My brothers and sisters in Christ, is at this time that we come together and worship the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in unity and in prayer, deliberation, and fellowship. And it is fitting that we, in the midst of last week's synod and all the good things that God has done for us, that we might turn our hearts and our minds to the lifeblood of our church, the divine breath that animates our souls, the Holy Spirit. Psalm 68 says, "The Spirit of the Lord hath filled the whole world, and that which containeth all things hath knowledge of the voice." This is the work of the Spirit, is it not? To find us exactly where we are in our loneliness or despair, our captivity physically, emotionally, mentally, to sin and to doubt, and to lead us into the spacious freedom of God's love that fills the whole world, like the psalmist says. And it is the Spirit who makes us and our hearts a holy habitation for the living God. Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 104, "O send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be made, and thou shalt renew the face of the whole earth." Think on those powerful words. The psalmist is tapping into Genesis 1 here, the very act of creation. Again, the psalmist says, "O send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be made, and thou shalt renew the face of the whole earth." The ongoing renewal of all things, the creation of all things, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And this same Spirit is the Spirit that swept over the primordial chaos, over the waters at the dawn of time, and that Spirit continues to work within us, renewing our hearts and our minds so that we might reflect the truth that we are made in the image and likeness of Christ. Now, during the Mass at Synod, the epistle was from the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter and John, upon hearing that the people of Samaria had accepted Christ and received the Word of God, went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. You see, it had not fallen on them yet because they were baptized only in the name of Jesus. They were baptized in the name of Jesus instead of the name of the Holy Trinity. And so they went down to the Samaritans and they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So let's consider this moment, brothers and sisters, because this is a transitional moment for the church. These new believers had accepted Christ, and yet there was a continuing outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come. That it doesn't just stop with our accepting of Christ. And this is a tangible reception. This tangible reception of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands shows an intimate and deep connection between the apostolic ministry of the church for the 2,000 years of its existence and the sacrament of confirmation, where the bishop lays hands on those who are being confirmed, and in the sacrament of holy orders, where a man is made into a deacon, priest, or bishop. And that speaks to incredible intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And it reminds us that the Spirit is not some abstract force that blows in and out of the church or doesn't have any sort of bearing in our lives, but it is a personal gift given to us by Christ. It is a personal gift bestowed within the context of the church through the bishop and through each other, the body of Christ. And brothers and sisters, we are the beneficiaries of this gift, this movement of the Holy Spirit, because this church is a multi-generational work of the Holy Spirit. We're in multi-generational. We're in a multi-generation now as a church, as Christ Anglican Church, and you know, it's been our loved ones, our mentors, our friends, our pastors, and our parents, most especially our mothers, who have poured themselves into us. And the Holy Spirit has used them for our molding and shaping into the image and likeness of Christ. That is something to celebrate today. So then, in the gospel, according to St. Jane, our Lord Jesus himself speaks of the Holy Spirit. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And again, our Lord Jesus Christ says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things into remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter, Jesus calls him. The Paraclete, the one that comes alongside us, the Advocate, Strengthener, the Helper. In the face of our trials, in the face of the trials that were to come, the Lord promised his disciples and promises us still the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. What a comfort. When doubt creeps in, when the world's weight weighs heavily upon us, when we feel lost and alone, the Spirit is there and is a constant companion. He reminds us of the Lord's promises. He guides us into all truth. He illuminates Holy Scripture. He is the very breath of God in us and the assurance of God's love to us. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This peace that Jesus gives us, this peace that he leaves us, is shalom. But shalom is more than just the absence of conflict. It is the deep abiding tranquility that transcends the chaos of the world. That everything is made right in our relationship with God and in our relationship with others. It transforms us into the image and likeness of Christ. It is the peace that passeth all understanding, a gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And today's epistle, Blessed Peter, talks ongoingly about what it means to live once that Holy Spirit is indwelled in us, what it means to live a holy life. He goes on and lists all these different ways that God has given us the ability and to live a holy life, and for all of our actions to match what the Holy Spirit is telling us and the witness that Christ is calling us to be. A hymn once written by C.H. Morris goes like this: called unto holiness, a glorious thought, up from the wilderness wanderings brought, out from the shadows and darkness of night, into the Canaan of perfect delight. Called unto holiness, the bride of the Lamb, waiting for the bridegroom's returning again. Lift up your heads, for the day draweth near, when in his beauty the King shall appear. Brothers and sisters, the world might offer a fleeting peace, a peace that might be temporary, temporary respite from trouble, but the Holy Spirit and the peace of Christ is the peace that sustains us in the midst of our tribulations and hardships, in our goings and comings, when we lie down and when we get up. The Holy Spirit is the peace that is rooted in knowledge. When we have that knowledge, we are in God's love, and it's a peace that empowers us to face any of the challenges that we might be facing with courage and hope. Let us go forth with the comforting assurance of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives and in our church. And let us be mindful of the way that we act. Do our actions match the name of Christ? As St. Peter implores us that it be so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.